Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hello, everyone. This is David.
Hey, this is Andy.
I thought you were Ziva.
I'm Andy now. You told me Ziva to leave. 2009. You told Ziva to leave.
Well, anyway, we'd like to welcome you. We just did a last episode, and we got into character. We were talking about marriage, and it was kind of fun to do. It was an old teaching that Ramon used to do called the Circles Teaching, and it showed what people go through in their marriage using the scriptures, and it's pretty true to life. It's awakened a lot of people and actually brought them to salvation. So you can go to our website, Gilbert and Friends, and on the bottom left, there's a blue column along the left-hand side that shows all the different teachings. And we're down towards the end under number 17, circumcision of the heart. And I'm going to recommend, again, you go to the website, print those pages off. The podcasts are going to be incorporated with them in a while. And we're going to try to have podcasts for each one of these, and you can print them and go to your coffee shop, in your house, whatever. You can go over these together and do a Bible study together. And this is how we search the scriptures to uncover the mysteries of God's kingdom. And the whole Bible contains God's heart and mind. And in it is a roadmap that leads to salvation, to come back into God's house. He got kicked out of God's garden. We no longer are in communication or communion with God like man used to be with Adam and Eve when they used to meet with God all the time in the garden, but that can all be healed, that can all be cured. We can come back into God's household. We can have a cure in our heart, in our minds, in our flesh. We can be healed and be brought back into a right relationship with God. We've been following the trail that says that we are to repent and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. We've talked about what the fruit is, and used different scriptures and shown how to study. I'd suggest you go back to the beginning of this series, 1 through, I think there's 19 in it. We are looking at today the circumcision of the heart and a lady we've named Ziva. She's married to Adam 2009. I think because I put this on the website in 2009, I started to, but I haven't gone back and done podcasts with it. Please go run a print of it or have your friend run a print of it if you can't do it. And we're looking at the change that's overtaken Ziva. Now, she's married. She's married to a man named, we called Adam 2009, because he's a modern Adam. He can't be an old Adam. I mean, maybe he acts like a caveman once in a while, don't you, Adam?
Well, if I have to.
Well, maybe he has to, because that's just in him. So we gave characters to these people of what they were like before they were saved, and all people have what is called the lust of their flesh, and the list is almost endless. It's found in Galatians 5, and it gives a list of 18 things, but then it says et cetera, and you can add things like pouting.
Conceit,
caveman acting.
Pride.
Brutal. Grumpy. You know, things like that. And you can add characteristics to the lady. And since we're guys, we probably shouldn't go too far on that one. We can make fun of ourselves, but it probably shouldn't go too far the other way. But Andy's agreeing with me here. He knows the danger of that one. Anyway, so you can give them both characteristics. And the way we left it, they were not getting along because their flesh was not joined together yet. They had not married. And then they were dating, and they looked at each other on the outside, and it was looking good. And then they got married, and it says in the Bible, when you marry, you become one flesh. And all of a sudden, that covering, well, all he's looking at is they're not married, so he's looking at the thing through rose-colored glasses. Wow, what a beautiful woman. She's cute. She's funny. She's fun to be around, and she's looking at him. Wow, he's got lots of money. Little did she know. And he's charming, he's witty, and they're just getting along great. Marriage happens, great. Honeymoon, great. Then about a week or two down the road or month, the first argument starts, and they realize that they're now attached, and they see each other's flesh is open. So they start fighting a lot, and they think having a kid's going to heal their marriage. Well, it doesn't. It because they're so tired because the kid's keeping them up all manner of hours and so on that they're just on each other even more. So they decide, well, we'll have another kid. Maybe that'll solve it. Or three kids later, and it just gets worse. So Ziva runs into her friend. They're out shopping together, and she gets herself saved. And she was so impressed with the joy her friend had. She wanted that. And she gets saved, and there's such a huge change in her life. She comes back, but her friend recommends one thing. Why don't you not tell your husband anything? Just let him see it. Just be patient, and don't be arrogant with him. Be kind and patient to him, and let him see the change. And she decides, you know what? I haven't been so good at taking advice, but I'm going to listen to that one. I'm going to be patient and kind, and I'll wait. And so she comes home, and a couple, 3 weeks later, Adam hasn't said anything, and she's just busting the gut trying to, thinking she's going to say something, but she remembers that, and it stays in her head. She decides, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to wait and let the Lord show him. Finally, Adam just can't contain himself, and he goes, wow, you don't want to fight with me anymore. Come on. I'm starting to feel guilty here. And he starts seeing the difference. But we're going to go into what happened to Ziva in her heart that made Adam, 2009, modern Adam, made him open his eyes and start asking questions. So we're going to get to the heart of the matter. We're going to look into what happens behind the scene in the hidden man of the heart, and it's called the circumcision. Now you're going like, what? That's Old Testament law, not what I'm talking about. This is New Testament. It's the circumcision of the heart, and it's talked about in the New Testament. But first, please bear with me. We're going to go look at the history of circumcision, right when it happened at the beginning, and then if you're patient with us, we'll go on into the circumcision in the New Testament, the circumcision of the heart. How does that sound?
Okay.
Let's go right from the beginning, but we're not going to stop here. Please understand, we're not looking at the circumcision of the flesh, but we are going to end up with the circumcision that's performed by God, and he reaches into man's heart and gives him a brand new heart. As a matter of fact, we talked a little bit about creation. Did you know creation's involved here? Because it says, create in me a clean heart. That word create is that Hebrew word bara. Remember, we talked about it, where a man's spirit is created. God sent his spirit, bara, and then he made his flesh, like clay, a potter makes clay, and that's yotzer. He formed us, and then he made us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and that is gasha. But the thing that needs to be healed first is the heart. And it says, create in me a clean heart, bara. Only this term is only used by God. Only God can create. What's crying out in Psalms is a man is crying out, God, give me a brand new heart. Never used, brand new. Genesis 17, 1 through 27.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any stranger who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and I also will give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear you at this time set next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men in his house, born in the house or bought with money from a stranger, were circumcised with him.
Well, we've read an Old Testament scripture about circumcision. This is the very first time it's found in the Bible. Isn't that right, Andy?
Yeah.
Now, you'll say, well, circumcision is just Old Testament. I'd like to read Romans 2. I'm going to come back to this, but I just want to open your eyes, hopefully, God willing, to the fact that it's actually New Testament. Romans 2, 28 through 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Even though we're talking about this Old Testament circumcision, the Old Testament circumcision was looking ahead of the flesh on the outside of man, was looking ahead to the New Testament circumcision. Certainly in Romans, the New Testament was of effect. It was enacted. It had been ratified and it was set. And this New Testament, the circumcision is inward. It is of the heart. It is done by the Spirit. I'd like to read it again. So if you have a little aversion to this and haven't heard this before, maybe it's new. This is a New Testament principle, Romans 2, 28 and 29. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision which is outward in the flesh. That's the Old Testament, outward, and it's of the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, so now the new circumcision is on the inside. The circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. It's done by the Spirit, not by man. It's not by the letter. And the praise is not from men, but from God. But because the Old Testament circumcision pointed to this, let's look and see, even though this is talking about the Old Testament circumcision of the flesh, the New Testament circumcision in the heart, it's still a covenant between God and Yahweh. That's verse 10. In verse 13, the circumcision of the heart, the New Testament circumcision of the heart, is an everlasting covenant, verse 13. Do you want to read 10 and 13? Read 10, please.
This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you.
So it's a covenant between Yahweh and man, and it's an everlasting covenant, the circumcision of the heart.
He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Now there in the Old Testament, it's in the flesh, but the New Testament covenant is in the heart. Every male must be circumcised, verse 10. What does that say? It's at the end of verse 10, I think.
This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised.
Now, an interesting thing happens in the New Testament. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. So when he's saying you're going to be a Jew here, is actually saying you're going to be of God's household. That's really the bottom line. You'll be in God's household. And so there's no Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free, male or female. Well, it doesn't mean there's not males and female running around. God does not distinguish. If there's a circumcision in the heart, both men and women need to be circumcised in their heart and become part of God's household. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So this covenant still works, but it's looking ahead to the best covenant, which is between us and Yahweh. And so every male must be circumcised. And if you keep reading, or if you read before this in verses 1 through 27, a person's name is changed at circumcision. Verse 5.
Abram was changed to Abraham.
No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.
And that happened because of this covenant of circumcision. Did you know that God gives you a new name when you're born again? It's written on a white stone. If you continue in your salvation and you endure to the end in the book of Revelation, if you endure to the end, you'll be given a new name written on a white stone. And I believe that new name is actually given to you when you are born again. And it says nobody knows but you. You will know it. I believe the first time you'll hear it aloud is when Jesus comes back and calls you by name, by your new name.
Well, that's a wonderful thought.
It's pretty exciting. It says everybody's become new, all have become new. Again, the circumcision is the New Testament circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. And we become fruitful in verse 6 of Genesis 17.
I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you.
And see, all this in Genesis chapter 17, this is the chapter, this is where God introduces circumcision. He's not going to yet do his circumcision of the heart. This is where men are circumcised in the flesh. In the New Testament, in Galatians or Romans 2 again, he says, he will circumcise our hearts. And look at, he will multiply us, verse 2.
And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.
All these are found in the circumcision chapter, and he will be our God, verse 7.
And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you.
And God will give us the land of milk and honey in the New Testament. Old Testament is called the land of milk and honey. The New Testament, it's called God's kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Same place. So God will give us the new land, his kingdom. Verse 8.
And also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Read verse 9 and 14. This tells us that we must be circumcised, and what happens in verse 14 if we're not circumcised?
And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. And this uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
If we're God's people, we must be circumcised. And in the Old Testament, it was a circumcision of the flesh. Now in the New Testament, it's a circumcision of the heart. And we'll get into that next. So if we're not circumcised, we will be cut off. As soon as Jesus enacted the New Testament, when he died on the cross, every Jew needed the circumcision of the heart. They needed to change from the old bondage of the old law. And in Galatians, it says we're not to go back to the old circumcision. But yet there is a new circumcision, and it's mentioned several times in the New Testament, and it's talking about the circumcision of the heart. And even Jeremiah 3-4 looks ahead to that circumcision. As Jeremiah 4, verses 3-4.
For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it, because of the evil of your doings.
So this is an Old Testament scripture actually looking ahead to the New Testament, isn't it? Because in the Old Testament, they were still bound by the circumcision of the flesh, but in the New Testament, they will be circumcised in the heart. And this scripture strongly talks about this New Testament. And in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it says, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so you may live. And here it shows that God is going to perform the circumcision of the heart. It'll be done by God.
And also, here's the John the Baptist statement again from Matthew chapter 3, where we started a while back. It says that he talks about this fire and that it's an unquenchable fire again. Here it is again.
I'd like to close on this. Romans 2, 28-29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. And we're going to continue on in this series regarding the circumcision of the heart done by God, the New Testament circumcision. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.